This is Mike the Birdman Dodd here, and I'm here to tell you about a great online store that I use for all my clothing needs. That's BigAndTallMart.com. Fantastic selection of big and tall sizes for all occasions and all budgets. BigAndTallMart.com is a store that I trust to put me in the most comfortable and stylish clothes for all my outings. From casual and workwear to all kinds of formal wear for all occasions, this store has it all. Big and Tall Mart also carries a large selection of printed novelty tees, and trust me when I say they have a very large selection. Use promo code GEEK10 on checkout to get 10% off orders of $50 or more. Visit BigAndTallMart.com for a great shopping experience for all your big and tall clothing needs. Greetings, my fellow Starfleet officers and all hands on deck. You are listening to Future Imperfect, and I am your... You know what? I'm going to give myself a promotion. Admiral Mike the Birdman Dodd, but I'm joined by my intrepid co-pilot, or my exo, probably the guy who runs Section 31.
Steve Megatron Phillips.
And guys, it is 2014. Welcome back. Big thanks to our friends over at SFI. Starfleet, the world's largest Star Trek online fan club, and to my knowledge, their commanding officer has retired, Dave Blazer. I know there's someone else coming in to fill those shoes, though I'm not sure who of, because let's just say I've been neglecting my Starfleet Academy classes for quite some time. although it's cool, though, they did send me a certificate. I achieved a really good grade in Borg culture and something else. And they actually send you a little certificate. If you complete classes, you actually get diplomas.
And, nice.
And it's cool. For certain people, they actually give away a scholarship, like a legit scholarship to apply towards a college or a university.
So that's cool.
Yeah, they are tremendously cool people. So go check them out at sfi.org. They're awesome. So it's 2014. So that means we're going to kick things off. Kind of big and important, actually. Me and Steve have been talking over the last couple of weeks as we get in the show ready to roll again, and we decided we're going to do a look at the captains a little bit more in depth. We did cover this topic last year, but not as in depth as I would have liked. So what we're going to do is we're going to look at the reverse order of the captaincy, going from Janeway and finally finishing with Archer, as he was technically the first Starfleet captain, and Janeway and Voyager was the last Star Trek series that was on the air. So, with all that in mind, we're going to be talking about Captain Catherine Janeway of the USS Voyager, my favorite captain, actually, and the first female captain to lead her own television series, though not the first female captain we would see throughout the series, because Star Trek, gender equality, and all that fun stuff is yay. So, I guess before we kick things off, Steve, what the hell have you been up to during the last little while?
Well, I've been working on, of course, stuff as always with Geekcast Radio. We're gearing up for an awards thing that we're going to launch this year, which that's tons of work behind the scenes. Also, I picked up a side webmaster job for a indie film magazine that's starting up around me.
Ooh, exciting stuff.
What else? So, cool stuff there.
Good. For myself, still doing This Week in Geek, 7 years as of this month, which is pretty impressive. I think we're one of the longer-running podcasts that have been around, actually. Man, that really kind of says something. Other than that, still doing These Warriors Are Terrible, which starts their new season in just a couple of weeks. Looks like I'm running Neon Genesis Evangelion, likely under the GURP system. If not, there's a modified D20 system. I think it's called Mecha versus Kaiju. Or I'm going to be running Serenity / Firefly under the Margaret Weiss system for that. So keep an eye out for that over on thesewordsareterrible.com. Still doing the radio gig, trying to get more stations this year. Because I kind of looked at my career and I'm like, wow, I've done CBC, MTV, and AMC. How the hell am I going to top that? So now I have to figure out a way to get myself on BBC One and CNN before the end of the year. Those are my new goals for this year. Man, I need to lower that bar a little bit. So I guess we'll have to wait and see what happens with that. So we are going to have the Replicator going on this year, but we're not going to have it this episode as we just came back from the holidays. I don't officially come back until this episode is posted. So I didn't get a chance to watch it over the holidays, but I'm going to be reviewing Star Trek Enterprise Season 3. That'll be coming up in about 2 weeks. So be looking for that. But before we go any further into our discussion on Captain Janeway, we have to welcome Steve in the Elkar's computer. And here is a little bit of info on Captain Catherine Janeway.
This computer terminal provides full access to the Elkar's computer net. It can be operated both by voice and keypad commands.
Initiating update.
Hello, and welcome to another edition of Elkar's. I'm your host in here, as always, Steve Megatron Phillips, and tonight we're starting our spotlight on, well, none other than Captain Catherine Janeway. And as we do in all episodes of Future Imperfect, we talk about the main subject of the episode. And with talking about Janeway, you can't deny that there is a great, capable leader and capable ship captain here. From all of her different encounters through Starfleet, mostly in the successfully traversed Delta Quadrant by her and her crew for 7 long years, she has been head-to-head with Q, the Borg, Species 8472, the Kazon, and many other interesting new creatures. Getting into a little bit of background information, she is a 24th century Starfleet officer, most noted for her service as captain of the USS Voyager. In addition to that, she has, as I stated before, become the first Federation captain to successfully go through the Delta Quadrant, encountering dozens of new planet civilizations over the course of 7 years. While there, she and her crew survived numerous encounters with the Borg. And finally, in 2379, she was placed as a Vice Admiral at Starfleet Command, which you get to see her in Star Trek Nemesis, which makes the only Star Trek character not in the original series or TNG to make an appearance in the film franchise. One of the interesting aspects of the persona of Captain Catherine Janeway is her affinity for coffee. What's this, you ask? Well, there's many references to it, much like Captain Picard with his tea Earl Grey. She has a deep love of coffee, which helped her with her late nights through the academy, getting her through classes and pulling all-nighters. She makes quite a few references in this series about coffee, some of them being coffee, black, just coffee. There's coffee in that nebula. I'm just going to have to give up coffee. Coffee, the finest organic suspension ever devised. I beat the Borg with it. That would be such a great slogan for any of the coffee companies. I beat the Borg with it. One more cup of coffee and I'll jump to warp. You ought to try it one day. It keeps you sharp. It's an acquired taste. Coffee black. Make it yourself. So, suffice it to say, she has a deep love of coffee. It's mentioned quite throughout the series, again, like Picard. If you were to mix multiple Star Trek characters together to create Captain Catherine Janeway, the two that I could kind of put to mind, which will get mentioned, I'm sure, later, is Captain Kirk and Captain Picard. You have the diplomacy of Picard, but you have the kind of trailblazing and guns hot Captain Kirk. So between the two, you have kind of a nice balance with Janeway. Also, she doesn't have the same love of, despite what she may say, her actions speak louder than words when it comes to the Prime Directive and things that she's caused. So I think that about wraps it up here on Elkar's, so catch us when we come back after the break.
Please confirm deactivation request. Deactivation complete, now disconnected from this terminal.
Welcome back to This Week in Geeks, Future Imperfect. I'm one of your many hosts, Mike the Birdman Dodd, and thank you, Steve, for that wonderful bit of information on my favorite captain, Captain Janeway. So, I guess, where do we start with this discussion, Steve?
Well, for one, she's got quite the running record of not only firsts in this series, but of something totally different. They're exploring all new things in her run of Star Trek with the Voyager, and it's our first show featuring a strong female captain.
One of the things I think Captain Janeway has above over some of the other captains is she's one of the more aggressive, and I wouldn't necessarily call it reckless, because Kirk did some pretty nice damage with the Klingons back in his day, and you could even argue with Sisko and the Cardassians and the Bajorans. I almost said the Kardashians there, actually. I actually had to catch myself when I was saying that. The fact that she's encountered so many new species, in fact, I think she's encountered the most new species of any Starfleet captain, because going through uncharted space through the Delta Quadrant, we've got the Kazon, the Viridians, the Hirogen, the Borg, in a more concentrated effort, species 8472. And while she was able to make a bunch of new political alliances and really a lot of peaceful first contact things, she did more than enough to stir up a hornet's nest, almost at times seemingly like she was disregarding the prime directive. But I could count that up to really bad writing at that time. One of the guys that we work with on the show, Ryan, the Uneven Flow, has cited Voyager as one of the worst written Star Trek shows. And at points, I can't disagree with that. Because the way Janeway would act as a captain doesn't seem in line with what Picard would have done, or even Sisko. Sisko was a hard ass. Picard was a diplomat. But I also realize Janeway was under a completely different set of circumstances than any Starfleet captain before her had really been kind of dumped in. I mean, do you follow your main mission, uphold the directives of the Federation, or do you do what you can to get the flip home?
Oh, I know. She was kind of stuck in that odd predicament and having to be strong despite having so many things in her way.
Yeah, and it's so bad because she lost half of her command crew coming over from the caretaker. She had to employ people who are not Starfleet operatives. In fact, were enemies of the state with the Maquis. And then eventually bringing on different alien species as members of her crew, like Neelix, Seven of Nine, and even to a lesser extent later on when they get the Borg kids, when they start getting involved into things. So, I don't know. I don't disagree with some of the actions that she'd done, but could she have gotten Voyager home a lot sooner? Yeah, I think. But you kind of wonder, when you look at what she's accomplished, I kind of wonder how much damage she did at the same time.
Oh, I'm sure she caused a lot of damage.
And it's terrible, but the fact that I think this is an argument I've had with another friend of the show, my friend Justin. We were talking about Archer and Janeway, how both have made catastrophic mistakes that may have changed civilizations for better or for worse, but Janeway seems to get away with it without looking stupid, and that's pretty hard to do, all things considered. I mean, when I look at her career, I kind of wonder how many, I wouldn't say unnecessarily died, but were unnecessarily risked. And I know science and everything comes with a certain degree of risk. That's what makes it exciting. That's what makes any discoveries worth it in the long run. But I don't know. I mean, the fact that they're trapped 70,000 light years from home, and that's the number that they give repeatedly during the series. And it'll take them, I think, something like 70 years to get home, traveling at maximum warp. Although, if you really want me to nitpick this here, technically the math doesn't add up when you look at how fast warp 9 really is.
Oh, I know. It's so ridiculous.
I'm just thinking, in theory, they should be home in like a couple of weeks. But, you know, whatever. I digress. It makes a stronger story. Math doesn't, all things considered. One of the things I really did like about Janeway, though, is she seemed to bond with her crew in a way that maybe some of the others didn't. I always felt... I would call it a very maternal instinct. She very much felt like the mom to Voyager, and Voyager was her child, although everybody around her had a place in the family. Although, I don't know whether she technically had a husband role to her. You could argue Chakotay or Tuvok in that role, but it was something more intimate than that type of relationship. I mean, it's like that best... It's sort of like... Kind of like how I would actually draw from another sci-fi property here. Kind of like Mal and Zoe from Firefly. They're really close. They could go that way if they wanted to, but they don't because it's a mutual respect. And that's kind of what I see between Tuvok and Chakotay in relation to Janeway. The fact that they are that close, but there's that line you just don't cross.
Yeah, I mean, I can definitely see that.
So with that bearing in mind, looking at all the people she has under her and how she looks after them, I like how each person undergoes a transformation because of it. And I think, I'm not quite sure what Janeway learned. I think she learns the value of family more so than anything else, because for the most part in the series, everybody gets somebody. Chakotay gets 7 of 9. Tom Paris gets B'Elanna. Harry has his hand. I'm sorry, he gets screwed more than anybody else in the series. although he has the holodeck and he's a smart engineer, so he can bang the world. Neelix finds that Talaxian family. Kess screws off. The Doctor, he's a hologram. It doesn't count. Is there anybody that I'm missing from the command crew? I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
Yeah, so Janeway hooks up maybe twice during the series that I can remember, and both of them were with once was with a hologram, and I think Q tried to screw her to have a child once.
Oh, and Q wanted to screw her hardcore.
And you see, I almost wonder if she should have. And I'm not saying that, you know, to give up her body, but it would have been a way to get everybody home, and it would have been a new... understand, because I think the Q wanted it to help. I think it was to help settle the Q Civil War, or to show them something new or something.
Yeah, it was to basically, they hadn't had a new blood base since the death of the one Q. They needed somebody to kind of balance the force, as it were.
Yeah, and I'm thinking, I don't know whether I would call that a bad thing if she were to do that, because it's not exactly a first contact thing, because they've obviously had contact with the Q before, even as far back as the original series. So, I don't know, the fact that if she'd done that, it wouldn't necessarily be violating anything, I guess, other than her personal boundaries. But, I don't know, I mean, that's a tough question, and I'm waiting for the hate mail on this one, so feedback at thisweekingeek.net. I don't know, Steve, what would you do? All you have to do is make love to this alien, and it could be a culture thing, but in return, you get your family home safe and sound, and at the same time, you expand the knowledge of Starfleet and the principles of science and anthropology at the same time. But your personal morals are compromised. What do you do?
You can do it!
See, that's the thing. I probably would do it too, and it's not because... I don't know. I mean, I see the body as something
true. Well, I mean, it would help your. I mean, you got to think about your crew, too. You're helping put them out of their suffering, too.
Yeah, I mean, it's sort of the needs of the many outnumber the needs of the few. And I guess when you bring sex into the equation, it brings up all these equality things and everything. But I think Janeway is smart enough that she would recognize the fact that this could really help people. And who knows? I mean, Q may be kind of a bastard, but I don't think he'd be a douchebag dad. And I think we saw that during the Enterprise, or during, TNG, where there's the adolescent Q. He's not a complete dickhole.
Oh, no.
So maybe it wouldn't have been so bad, and maybe by doing this, it might have increased the understanding of the Q, maybe brought the Federation and the Q continuum closer together. I mean, it's no different than, I guess, the Trill, because they're the symbiote combining with somebody else. It's a culture thing, and it's the way to continue the species. Who's to say that bringing new blood into the Q continuum with Janeway would have been such a terrible thing? Yeah, it's a risk. It's a calculated risk. But think of the lives and the understanding that would have been gained by this. So that's something to percolate there. I'm not calling Janeway a slut for not getting people home or whatever. I would just call it one of her many questionable command decisions. And that's something that I kind of liked about Voyager as a whole, is Janeway was fallible, completely fallible. And I think the main reason, because the only people she had as that moral compass was Tuvok, her own moral standards, and a Federation that exists 70,000 light years away, which means if she wanted to look the other way, she could. And they did on more than one occasion. But they didn't go to the extremes of, say, the USS Equinox and Captain Ransom, where they were basically, screw this, we're getting home, we don't care how. And they don't care who they hurt along the way. Whereas Voyager was very respectful of almost every civilization they came across, whether they were hostile or not. So, to go back to my original point about her relationship with the crew, one of the relationships that I always liked the most was between her and Harry Kim. And Harry Kim I see as sort of the lovelorn teenager of the Voyager crew, because like I said, this guy never got lucky in love. In fact, the amount of times he got screwed over because, you know, romance or something got in the way, it's almost a trope of Voyager. I mean, is it a hologram? Yes. Is Harry Kim in love with it? Yes. There's your Voyager episode for the week. But like the fact that I never felt like she ever talked down to him. And she wanted him to grow as a person. And then again, also the same way with her and Tom Paris. They were like the kids of Voyager, right? There was the overachiever and the underachiever. Harry wanted to do the best that he could to impress people. And Tom, he's the Fonz in space. The Delta Flyer is his motorcycle. And I don't know, there's just something about that relationship I always really, really, really enjoyed in the show. And another one that I enjoyed because it was such the odd couple, but you could see they very clearly cared for each other, was her and Neelix. The fact that he converted her private dining room into the new galley. And somehow she didn't notice this. This was done over, this must have been done over the course of, a few hours. And that's what I love about construction in space. You want something done, just wait 10 minutes. Don't wait for the Holmes on Holmes guys to show up. So I really like that. And the fact that they had this really odd kind of friendship there. And that's something you never really saw in some of the other Star Trek series. I think in some ways, Voyager was more interpersonal than some of them. Because I think you got better character relationships at time, while not necessarily the best written, I felt in some ways they felt the most human in some ways. And I know once again, I'm going to get some hate mail for that, but, it's just something that I felt, and maybe I liked Janeway and Voyager more so because it was the outsiders making their own way. They weren't stifled by civil war or the intrigues of Starfleet or the threat of basically an all-out war with another species, the Klingons or the Romulans or even the Breen and the Founders and the Dominion, that's it, looming over their heads. Voyager carved their own path through space, and I think there's something about the way Janeway would handle diplomacy as well. She was a mix of Kirk and Picard. Extend the hand of friendship, but you better believe there's a phaser at her hip at the same time.
Oh, I know. That's such the perfect description of her if you're comparing her to older captains. She definitely has,
the vibe of Kirk, the kind of, you know, little bit of, you know, the snarky and a little bit of the you know, no nonsense action, but she'll at least be willing to sit down and talk it over at like Picard, but she doesn't wait as long as Picard to actually take action.
Yeah, exactly. And one of the things I think she even did better than Picard is she dealt with some species that I kind of wonder how the crew of the Enterprise D would have dealt with it. Like, for example, not just the Borg, but the Hirogen. Basically, space predators, for lack of a better phrase. These really aggressive species where their entire culture is built around hunting, killing, and honor. And yet she gives them hologram technology to supposedly save lives, but we see what happens with that when giving that technology gives rise to an entirely sentient version of these holograms because they get smarter and smarter and smarter. So with Picard, he wouldn't have done that. He would have kept them talking and talking for hours. Like, I guarantee you, that would have been a whole diplomatic envoy that likely would have ended in phaser fire. Just because I don't think they would have bent, but Janeway knew how to apply the right pressure at the right time. Another one might be with the limited resources they had, even the Viridians, the guys that had that disease called the phage or whatever. Janeway telling them straight out the first time, if you come near me and my crew again, I'll kill you. And yet, later on in the series, when Janeway and Chakotay get stuck somewhere, I think they go to the Vidians for help. And it's probably a good thing Janeway wasn't there, because they probably would have said, wow, fuck that. And yet, you know. And that's something about, too. Janeway gained a reputation in the Delta Quadrant. I mean, just this highly advanced starship with these strange creatures called humans. And don't screw with them. Sort of thing. In fact, I almost wonder if you could compare the reputation of Voyager to Doctor Who. And what I mean by that is the Daleks refer to the Doctor as the oncoming storm. Wherever he goes, death is sure to follow. In almost the same way, Voyager does the same things. If things don't go that way, bad shit tends to happen. I mean, when Janeway negotiated with the Borg to give them the nanotechnology to kill Species 8472, that could have radically changed the shift of power in the Delta Quadrant, because Species 8472 don't like anybody who ain't them. And the Borg, obviously, the pursuit of perfection and assimilation. So I don't know. And just the amount of civilizations that were touched by them. I mean, one species I can think of where they were directly responsible for them was the planet that existed out of time. And it was the planet that spun really fast. So if you were on the planet for 2 minutes, it might be like 20 years or something. Some really weird time travel thing. Or it wasn't even time travel. It was just spatial displacement sort of thing. And the entire civilization was built up around the skyship, and then they find out its name is Voyager, and how it's like a ship of the dead and everything, because they exist out of space-time with outside of the rest of the universe, because their planet's so sped up for whatever reason. And kind of forget where I was going with this. Oh, right. But yeah, it's just the fact that they influence an entire species, and I guess that's not necessarily a fault of Janeway, but, you know, the fact that she kept stopping along the way to smell the roses, trying to get home at the same time, I kind of wonder if that unnecessarily changed things in the Delta Quadrant.
Yeah.
I know entirely too much about this, don't I?
Yes. Well, there's also a lot to be said for not only her present character and how she interacts with her crew. There's almost a vibe of some of the different shows being involved, as we've mentioned before, that she's similar to Kirk and Picard, kind of meshed together. Like, Tuvok is basically her Commander Spock. Mm-hmm. The two of them are very similar. Like, I know Tuvok did something similar to where Spock did to Kirk of at least in the new continuity. Mm-hmm. Not so much starting out as friends, but ending up friends through various other things that happened at the academy, kind of thing, in front of admirals. And but there's also when she goes into these new situations, such as having to meet doubles of her ship, or meet like Riker meeting, even though it was part of that, being blended into the Excelsior crew temporarily, and meeting Hikaru Sulu through Tuvok.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, she's had quite a diverse touch on all the different continuities, but I think the most interesting part of it was when she had to, or when the future Janeway went back to save current Janeway.
Okay. What happened in that episode again?
That's the one where she destroys the Borg.
Oh, right. Oh, that was the series finale, right?
Yes.
Yeah, that, I do like the fact that she did change the timeline there. And like you mentioned, like how we're having to go back, and it took them, what, 25 years to get home?
Yeah.
Yeah, and they lost, I think, 47 more. It was some number. It was like 47 more people on the way to get home, but it was within their lifetimes.
And Tuvok got sick because he was not able to do the Punfar.
Oh, yeah, because there was no other Vulcans on board. Or
no.
There was, but they were guys or something.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's right, yeah, because there's only that engineering Vulcan guy who turned out to be kind of a douchebag anyway. I remember that now. Now, what do you think was her greatest accomplishment and her greatest failure?
I would say her greatest accomplishment would be having the ability to actually work with the Borg.
Mm-hmm.
Not just have constant battles and destroying each other, but she actually had to work with the Borg at points. Which was, if that were in the Alpha and Beta quadrants, that it would just not happen. It would just be a firefight.
And I think the reason they were able to accomplish that is the fact that they didn't have pressure from the outside. Because, like you were just saying, it would have ended in a firefight had this happened in the Alpha or the Beta quadrant, because there were so many different sides. The fact that Janeway could literally have a conversation of one, so to speak, without a committee behind her, this was able to be accomplished, other than the fact that uniting against a huge common threat. Now, what do you think her greatest failure was?
I would say it's kind of a double-edged sword, just because she kind of allowed it to happen, but there were many opportunities where they could have gone home sooner.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever may have happened through the various attempts or whatnot, either some action was mismade, or she just wasn't willing to go a certain mile to do so. Which is why the future Janeway had to alter the timeline to help them get home sooner to prevent all of it from happening. Therefore, creating not only a almost genocide of the Borg, but also creating a time paradox and altering the timeline.
Mm-hmm.
Which, all of those are big no-nos in Starfleet.
Yeah, because we don't know what the consequences would have been. And in theory, because there's that temporal police agency they introduce during the series, you kind of wonder, would they have gone back and fixed things? Because who knows what Voyager destroyed? And the same thing when Harry Kim came back to change the timeline when they did the whole Voyager slipstream thing that put Voyager in ice for 20 years. I think Janeway's greatest accomplishment is the advancement of a new brand of life. And I'm specifically talking about the Doctor, actually. And even with the Hirogen, like I said, giving the Hirogen the hologram technology could be argued as a mistake or a grand gesture. I think it's one of her greatest accomplishments, because it literally gave rise to a life form that hadn't really existed previously, or hadn't gained full sentience. Now, you could argue for TNG's holodeck episodes with Cyrus Redblock, and when Professor Moriarty and the Enterprise computer became alive, technically. But they weren't the same as the Doctor, who had real thoughts, real feelings, and they become a more advanced life form. And when they started arguing for photonic rights, I think if they became more than a series of force fields, holograms, and isolinear chips. And I think Janeway was really responsible for that, because she allowed the Doctor to evolve and encouraged him. So nurturing a new life form by exposing it to all these different experiences, be they threatening or not, I think that really kind of says something. And that's something that she can bring back to Servant and say, hey, look at what we've done. Look who this person is. Then helping them become an individual. Same with Seven of Nine, kind of bridging that Borg-human relations. Because Seven of Nine wasn't the only drone freed. There were multiple ones over the course of the series, and even those Borg that went off to go die because they were forced into a collective by Seven of Nine. I think that says something, too. I think Janeway's greatest accomplishment was anthropological and sociological, because she expanded the knowledge of all these cultures and all their customs. Basically, great wealth of knowledge. Scientific, for sure. What's her greatest failure is... That's a hard one. I think in some ways she let her crew down, because sticking to the rules got people killed over the course. Like you said, if she hadn't gone back and fixed the timeline, sure, she saved lives, but how many people have died as a result? It's something that can never really be answered. But maybe not taking the opportunities to get people home when they should have. But if you look at that thing too, how far would have technology come, blah, blah, blah. Right? So it's kind of hard to measure truly without any hard quantitative data saying, hey, this is what would have happened if. But using data from the series, I think almost getting involved too much at points kind of did damage things. I mean, I don't think they could have ever settled the whole Kazon thing peacefully, because that race was belligerent as hell. They weren't willing to take no for an answer. But there are other species that I kind of wonder if things might have turned out a little bit differently. And like I said, then there's that whole culture that got built up around Voyager sort of thing, right? Sort of, like I said, it's cause and effect. Basically, Janeway is the butterfly effect.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, if she changes one thing, it changes everything. And then I can bring in chaos theory and all that stupid shit and Jeff Goldblum-isms. I don't know. I still really like her, because I think she's a really... I like her because she's a strong woman. I really do. And I never saw her take any shit. You very rarely see her back down from a fight that she knows she could win. And if she ever does back down, it's for a good reason. It's to preserve lives. I've never seen her recklessly go, you know what, let's go screw those guys up. It was never aggressive. It was always reactive, so to speak. I'm trying to think if there's any reason why I would dislike her. Maybe following the rules at the wrong times might be the way I would argue. Because like I said, people did get hurt as a result of her thing, as of the result of her command decisions. And that ultimately kind of did some bad stuff for Voyager. But without those experiences, they wouldn't be who they are today, I guess. So I guess, Steve, we're probably getting ready to close this thing out. Is there any closing thoughts on Captain Janeway and the crew of Voyager?
Not really. I mean, she, for the most part, I would say had the most difficult job out of any of the captains. Yeah, Archer was the one blazing the way. Yeah, Kirk was the one kind of just exploring around. Picard had to deal with some new things, but he was still pretty much negotiating and exploring. Sisko was constantly fighting battles, and she not only had to do all of the above, but it's all this uncharted territory and all these meshing of cultures, which kind of, in a sense, relates to real life. Just she's having to more or less get everybody to put all their differences behind them and just kind of work together as one society, instead of having to tear each other down and not survive until they can save themselves, essentially.
Yeah, I mean, Janeway did it without help, whereas everybody else had, they could limp back to Earth if they had to.
Yeah, and she didn't have that luxury. She was just kind of stuck there.
Yeah, she did the best with what she could. What now? All right, here's a final question. Would you want her to be your captain?
That's kind of hard to say because,
depends on,
like you mentioned before, she did manage to get a whole bunch of people killed that was kind of unnecessary, or people killed and then somehow brought back. I think she would be a fair captain and good at kind of handling things, but I'd still almost have to go with another captain, but I would probably put her close to the top.
I think for myself under this, it would vastly depend on circumstances. I would love for her to be my captain during peacetime. No way in hell would I want her to be under circumstances of war. I think the captain I want to be with under a war circumstance might be Sisko.
Yeah.
Only because I think he's a better tactician, and Janeway might get a little wishy-washy with you. And I know that's not necessarily a bad thing, but sometimes the needs of the many outnumber the needs of the few, right? Janeway may think about the crew too much at some point, which may lead to getting people unnecessarily killed, or at least if you're going to be sacrificed, it better be for something. Sisko understood that a little bit better than I think most captains have. So I'm pretty sure I've said something contradictory during all this, because you know what I think that actually kind of sums up Janeway: the captain of contradictions. Sometimes good, sometimes bad, sometimes very just, sometimes a complete hypocrite, but she's human, and that's a strength and a weakness depending on where you want to be in the Star Trek universe. So I guess that's pretty much going to do it for our look at Captain Catherine Janeway, sort of our opinion, basically very much our freeform discussion of Janeway. As always, we welcome your thoughts, so send us them at feedback@thisweekingeek.net, subject line Janeway, and we will discuss what you guys think on the next show, which our next show, we're going to be looking at, who are we looking at? Are we looking at Sisko next time?
Yes, we are.
All right, then we're going to be looking at the commander of Deep Space Nine, Captain Benjamin Sisko, the hero of the Dominion War, and the emissary of Bajor. So until next time, my good friends, please be sure to check out our sponsor, SFI.org, Starfleet, the world's largest Star Trek online fan club. And for future improvement, we have been
Steve Megatron Phillips.
I've been Mike the Birdman Dodd, saying live long and prosper.